Does it sound pretty good? Welcome, welcome everyone. Good morning. My name is Roberto. For all those online, I have the privilege of serving as the director of worship here at Hope on the Beach Church. I'd like to welcome everybody home, all of y'all. You know, this is a no-judgment place, and it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to be okay. We're just grateful that God is in the house. You know, the Bible says where two or more are gathered, in Christ's name, he will be there. So we rest in that promise that he gave us. In your bulletins, you'll find the connection card. If you don't mind filling that out for us, we'd like to recognize your presence here, and we'll collect that up when we do offering later. We'd also like to welcome those that are watching us online. You can go to our website, hopeonthebeach.com. As soon as you get to our landing page, you will see a couple buttons. If you scroll up or down, depending, you will see a place where you can find the bulletin and a connection card. So welcome everyone in the house. Today, Christian is going to preach. It's a really amazing message about how Jesus works even when we don't see him, even when we feel like we're walking alone. And it's so on time. So we are so grateful that God works even when we can't see it. And it's his timing, amen? All right, let's rise real quick and let's worship. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are here right now and that you are working right here amongst your people. There's great weight in knowing that you are here, but there's great joy in knowing that you are here. So bless our worship and today and the message. We hope we bless you as we praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, I'm going to teach you guys this song. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry, I did it earlier this morning. So here's the chorus. You guys ready? Do the chorus there. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
You guys got it?
There is no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it.
Let's sing that again.
There was no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you gave it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Holy, holy, there is only one. I give you glory for all that you've done. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Oh, who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. And I, lifting both of my hands, you give me chance after chance, after chance. And I, giving all that I am, you give me chance after chance, after chance. And I, lifting both of my hands, you give me chance after chance, after chance. And giving all that I am, you give me chance after chance, after chance. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life, you've been right here by my side. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. I survived and I'm here to testify. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. I'm alright if they say I'm out of my mind. God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you.
I think everybody in the room has had that moment where we're on our hands and knees and we're begging, God, please come through. And then in time, we see His miracle in our life. There's not one person on the planet that doesn't need to drop to their hands and knees and pray. Maybe even beg for mercy.
Walking around the walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet.
Hallelujah.
Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet.
Amen.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me, yeah. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love, yeah. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Sing it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me, yeah. I've seen you move, the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you move, the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again.
Your promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me, yeah. I never will forget. You never fail me, yeah. I never will forget.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I got, there's two songs out on the beach. By the way, you can have a seat. And you guys have got it figured out. We're sweating at 8 o'clock this morning, and this is the place to be, in the AC. I think this group's got it figured out for sure. So listen to those two songs this morning. I didn't plan it, but this is planned now. I put Roberto on the spot, and for a good reason. I've seen this guy all the services, all four services. He arranges everything for the volunteers. Everything falls on his shoulders to make sure all four of those services go off without a hitch. And I've seen him do that, but I've also seen him take on the youth. I've also seen him take on a broken back from his wife over the last couple of months. which puts her out of work, and I see him also picking up gigs. So if there's anything I'm thankful for today, is to see Christ through my brother. And I see, and he inspires me. And I just thank you, brother, for that. And I'm thankful for seeing God work through you. And you just, you know, taking life by the horns, man, and going for it. And I appreciate you, and I'm thankful for you, brother.
I appreciate you, too. By the way, he cried the first time. Yeah. He had a little tear in his eyes.
Yeah, you didn't.
Man, I love you, dude.
Thank you. I love you, too, brother.
Thank you, man.
Good news is this. Yesterday, when I went by his house, I had to drop off a burner we used for a little get-together at our house. And Chrissy was there, and I got to see her the day after the surgery, in a lot of pain. And it was such a blessing to see her yesterday, rejoicing, full of joy and life and love, and you know, stating that she's hoping for, and I heard the good news today, that the doctors are clearing her to go back to work this period of time with a broken back. So praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, man. So with that, I just want to say I have a question. First off, I'm Christian. I'm the director of missions here at Hope on the Beach Church, and I'm thankful to be in that role and thankful to serve you in that role. And I've seen God's hand move here a lot over the last several years at Hope on the Beach, and looking forward to see him continually move as we're seeking to see where he's working and we go be a part of it as I'm directing missions. But I do have a question for you today. How many of you here are planners and like everything figured out? I can sometimes fall in that category. Would you say that you have worked hard, lived with discipline, overcome obstacles, built a career or business, and maybe now you're enjoying retirement? Life didn't always go as planned, but through determination, you made it. And that's something to celebrate. Others of us had the same plans, had the same determination, but life knocked us off course. We spent more time trying to get back on track than enjoying life. And then there are those of us who are a little more spontaneous. We tend to fly by the seat of our pants, navigating one challenge after another, hoping the next adventure doesn't become the next disaster, right? No matter which type of personality you are, we all have one thing in common, all of us. We all have these bodies that force us to stop. You hear that, Bonnie? Sorry, that's the only time I'll direct to somebody in the... But sometimes we just have to lay down eventually. Close our eyes, trust something, and give up our mind, our will, and our emotions. At the end of every day, we die, in a sense, to our will every day, in a sense. Briefly, as we lay down and allow ourselves to drift off to a place of rest and sleep. And this brings us to a state of zero control. We have no control over that environment, right? While asleep, we have no control of the actions of our life or what is happening in the environment at that given time. But every one of us trusts something to resurrect us a new day, every day. I can say with 100% certainty that every one of us that's here today have experienced that miracle of grace because we're all here, right? It amazes me how easily, though, it is to miss that story played out every single day. So now let's turn to our scripture and our bulletin and discover, just as our bodies remind us that we're not in control and need rest, we cannot control Jesus either, but we can trust him. Let's turn to chapter 4 in John. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And in Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. And he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. In your notes, one, we come to Jesus wanting him to fix what we cannot control. Most of us don't walk around saying that we're trying to be God. I mean, there's always a few. But what we actually do is quieter. We plan, we prepare, we build contingencies. We stay three steps ahead. And none of that's wrong. Being responsible isn't the same as being faithless. But there's a version of that careful planning that slides into something else. A low-grade belief that if we just think hard enough, work smart enough, we can control how things will turn out. A, nothing reveals our need for God faster than discovering we're not God. Something happens that we can't plan around. It causes chaos in our life, right? We find out fast that we're actually trusting. It's our own ability. This guy in Scripture we just read about is a royal official of King Herod. He was not a reckless man. He had position. He had influence. He was the kind of person who made things happen. But his son was dying, and there was nothing he could do at all about it. All the competence, and none of it mattered. So, he went to go find this Jesus. Most likely, Jesus was not his first call, but it became the only one that he needed, right? That's where a lot of us end up. Not because we're bad at trusting God, but because we're very good at trusting ourselves. Until we can't anymore. In Proverbs, in your notes, you'll see, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. This doesn't say our plans are foolish. It says God is the one who determines where those plans land. And read again in James, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. This drives the point further, even home. You don't even know what tomorrow looks like. So why are you so certain the next 2, 5, or 10 years? Then look at Psalms. So some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. This puts it all into perspective. What are we actually putting our confidence in? The chariots, the horses, the comforts of our own making? Or are we trusting in the name of the Lord? I'm sure the official had access to many chariots and many horses, and none of it saved his sons, did it? Saved his son, did it? Jesus did. That's the setup for everything that follows in this passage, you see. A man who had every reason to trust himself came to the end of himself. And that's where Jesus is. He's at the end of me and at the end of you. Most of us don't suddenly become spiritual giants in a crisis, do we? This is the information age. We become amateur doctors, financial advisors, and weather forecasters, sometimes all at once. I mean, I've Googled symptoms before and somehow ended up convinced I had some tropical virus. Hardships have a way of reminding us that we're not nearly as controlled as we think we are. We often believe we're self-sufficient until suffering exposes our weakness. Instead of running to Jesus first, we frequently exhaust every other opinion, option before talking to Jesus and asking him for what we need. Jesus does not turn away desperate people, though. He welcomes those who come to him with empty hands every single time. You see, our need becomes the very place where Christ meets us with his grace. So, what have we been trying to control lately that we haven't handed over to God? Know this, too. Jesus often refuses to follow our script. We say we believe God is sovereign. We sing about it. We put it on banners, right? A, we love God's sovereignty until it disagrees with our plan. Sovereignty is a much easier doctrine to hold on to when God is moving in the direction that we want to go. The moment he doesn't, the moment the answer is no, or not yet, or not like that, we find out how deep that belief in Jesus actually goes. We often react with, what obstacles can I move? Who's to blame? The Herodian official here in the story, though, worked for the same King Herod that later will take the head of John the Baptist, the current king of the Jews in this world. I assume that this official experienced people's prompt reactions when he commanded and made requests. So here in the story, he made a request to Jesus. He wanted Jesus to come to his house. He wanted, and that was the plan. I mean, it was a reasonable plan. Jesus was a healer, right? His son needed healing. So Jesus would come and heal him. This man carried expectations. But Jesus didn't come. He just spoke a word, and he sends the man home. Right there. That potentially puffed up official has to decide whether he trusts Jesus or he trusts the version of what Jesus should do. Those are two entirely different things. As we see in Isaiah 55 in your notes, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways, declares the Lord. Neither are my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. This is one of those passages that sounds comforting until you really sit in it and realize that you're not God. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's just not a poetic display. It's a reminder that we're working in a limited information capacity. But God isn't. He sees the situation in front of us. He sees it. He sees everything the situation is connected to and what it's leading toward. Anything that needs to happen that we can't see yet, he already sees. When he doesn't follow our script, it's not because he missed something. It's because he has a better one. And in your notes, B, God's delays are often invitations to deeper trust. There's a difference between a delay and a denial. We often treat them like the same thing, but they're not. When God doesn't move on our timeline, our first instinct usually is to assume something went wrong, that we didn't pray right, or we didn't believe hard enough, or that God isn't listening. But read in Proverbs in your bulletin. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Don't lean on your own understanding. In other words, your read if the situation is not the final word. He will make your path straight. But straight doesn't always mean fast. It doesn't always mean the route you picked. The delay in the story, the official walking home, is actually what makes the miracle perfect in that moment. If Jesus had went to his house and healed the boy in person, it would have been powerful, yes. But it also could have been explained. What could have been explained was a word. What couldn't be explained was a word spoken in Cana and a boy healed in Capernaum. At that exact moment Jesus spoke it, the boy was healed. The walk home of the official created a delay. But it was the distance that made this miracle perfect, because God's timing wasn't slow, it was immediate. When he spoke, the boy was healed. You know, I like to tell myself I'm flexible. But if I'm on a trip, like I did recently, to go see my dad and other family, I usually take the same route. But if all of a sudden my GPS puts me on a detour, I can get frustrated. A little too frustrated. Apparently, I trust Jesus well with all eternity, but I struggle to trust a detour on a highway. The officials wanted Jesus to follow his route. And often, if we are honest, so do we. Our sinful nature wants Jesus on our terms, but sometimes we trust him only when he acts according to our timelines and our expectations. Jesus remains faithful even when our faith is weak. He patiently redirects us from trusting our plans to trusting his promises. And number three, faith begins when control ends. Verse 50 is the hinge of the whole story. Jesus says to him, "Go, your son will live." And then it says the man believed the word Jesus had spoke to him, and then he went on his way. No confirmation, no visible sign, nothing in writing. Not even anyone to walk with him and keep him encouraged. He heard the word, he believed it, and he walked. That's the whole point. And it's harder than it sounds. In Hebrews, in your notes, you'll see, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of the things not seen. Faith is not the absence of uncertainty. It's choosing to move toward a promise even while the uncertainty is present. The official was not certain his son was healed. It's evident in the way that he asked his servant when he approached, "What was the hour that my son was healed?" He was trusting the word of someone that he had just met. That's a big step. That's a real cost of faith. A, in your notes, faith begins when we stop demanding answers and start trusting his promises. We tend to think of faith as something we generate, like we can just muster up enough of it. Things will work out. But that's not what this story shows, does it? B, faith is not holding tighter to the outcome. Faith is holding tighter to Jesus. The official doesn't conjure up a feeling of certainty. He heard a word from Jesus, and he responded to it. He went to walking. That's the pattern of the way, all the way through Scripture. Faith is always a response to what God has already said. He is the word to hold on to. See, the miracle happened when Jesus spoke. The official simply had to walk long enough to discover it. And here's the part that should stay with us all. The miracle was already done before the man took his first step home. Jesus spoke, and it was finished. The official just had to walk long enough to find out. That's not a small thing. That's actually a picture of what the Christian life should be like, right? God has already acted in the life, in the death, and resurrection of Jesus. Everything we trust Jesus for flows from something he's already accomplished. We're not waiting for God to do something. We're walking toward what he's already done and praying to see where he's working so we can join in. Four, Jesus is working even when we can't see it. The walk home is a big part of the story. The official is on the road for at least 12 to 24 hours. He's walking. He has no news. He has no update. He has a word from Jesus and miles of not knowing until he sees his servant. And in A, just because God is silent does not mean God is absent. And while on that road, God already answered, and his word stayed with him. B, God is often doing his greatest work where we see it the least. His son's fever had broken at the exact hour Jesus spoke. It was enough. And then see, what feels delayed to us is never delayed to God. The healing was continuing to happen while the father was still walking in the dark about it. The reality is here in 2 Corinthians. If you look, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That's not an inspirational phrase only here. It's a description of what our life should actually look like most of the time, church. It should look like, it should look just like the official on the road believing and walking by faith and not by sight. Moving, trusting, and not yet seeing. God is not absent in those stretches. He is often, he's most active in them, actually. And later to come in Jesus' story, the cross looks like the end. The tomb brings silence. 3 days felt like abandonment to the disciples. I mean, Peter ran 80 miles. And then suddenly, Sunday happened. Resurrection. God was working the whole time, but the church couldn't see it. Most of us have something we've been praying about for a long time with no visible movement. And the temptation is to read into that silence as an answer, to assume God isn't moving because we can't see Him moving. Listen, silence is not the same as absence, and stillness is not the same as no action. What feels like delay from where we stand often looks very different from where God stands. He knows exactly what He's doing and exactly when it will become visible to all of us. So, when we're walking on this planet, it's a round globe, right? And it's spinning. And we see north, south, east, west, and we often see chaos. We're walking, we see chaos. What are we going to do about it? Oh my gosh, what is this? What is that? Still spinning. Next thing we know, we go east. Chaos. We run into that. Things going good a while. Now we're going south. Chaos. But guess what? God's above it all. It's not a really good example. I'm saying 100,000 feet, 30,000 feet, whatever. But His perspective, God's looking down and He sees order. He's put all this into place. He is sovereign and He is God. And in that story, the servant met the official on the road with good news. He did not yet know as it was coming. And that's a story worth holding on to. Do you know there are things God has already set in motion in your life that you hadn't found out about yet? Let me repeat that one more time. There are things God has already set in motion in your life that you hadn't found out about yet. Amen? The question is whether you'll keep walking toward His Word while you wait to discover them. Lana and I almost forgot about a prayer we made over 20 years ago. We were sitting in Shunk Gully several years ago, and we had prayed after discipleship in another church for the walls to be blown out of that place so everyone could see inside that church because they had a banner that said mercy triumphs over judgment. They practiced it, and it was all about discipleship. And we're like, Lord, blow these walls out of this place. The world needs to see this in here. 20 plus years later, I'm sitting in Shunk Gully. Guess what message is being preached? By Pastor Jason, discipleship, and how we're going to go out in the communities. And guess what in Shunk Gully that day happened? The walls were rolled up. I flipped out. I grabbed a hold of Lana. I said, do you see the walls? This is an answered prayer. I don't care what this church is. We're plugging in. We're going, you know. I mean, we grew up Baptist. Discipled Nazarene, spent most of our time in a non-denominational. What's a Lutheran? I don't know, but there ain't no walls in this place, and I'm just going to plug in. We'll figure it out. God's big enough. He's bigger than Lutheran, right? So that's why we plugged in. So the truth is, we often judge God's faithfulness by what we can see. When answers are delayed, we are tempted to doubt His responses and presence. Even when we cannot see Him working, Christ remains active for our good. The cross and resurrection assure us that God's greatest victories often come through circumstances we do not understand. So, where do we need to trust that God is working, even though we can't see it yet? Lord, help us. Lead us to remember specific ways God has been faithful in our life. I pray those memories strengthen our trust at what lies ahead, what takes us to Hebrews. Repeat back to Hebrews, I mean. The conviction of the things that are unseen. And in number five, the greatest miracle is not healing, it's believing. Let's sit in that for just a second. The greatest miracle is not healing, it's believing. I thought this was a story about a boy getting healed. So the story ends with healing, but John doesn't linger there. What he highlights is that an official believed, and then his whole household with them. The son got back his life, and that's remarkable. But what John wants us to see is that the father got something even bigger, didn't he? He came to Jesus needing a miracle. He left knowing who Jesus was. And then a whole family gets to have a relationship with a Savior. That is the point of the story. A, the greatest gift Jesus gives is not a changed circumstance, but a changed heart. A changed circumstance is temporary. Every person Jesus healed eventually died. Lazarus was raised from the dead, wasn't he? Yet he died again. The official's son recovered from his fever, but one day he too faced death. The healing mattered, but it wasn't the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle was faith. That's why John writes later in the Gospels, in John 20, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." John's story of miracles are signs. They don't point to themselves, they point to Jesus. Because circumstances come and go, right? Health comes and goes, success comes and goes, but faith in Jesus Christ carries us through all seasons and all the way into eternity. Jesus can change your circumstances, but His greatest work is changing your heart from trying to control your life to trust in the One who created it. We come to Jesus wanting our circumstances fixed. We treat faith as a means to comfortable outcomes rather than a relationship with the living God. Jesus, though, gives us something better than a changed circumstance. He gives us Himself. And in Him, a life that no circumstances can take away and a changed heart. Recently, we talked about Nicodemus. You must be born again. Couldn't get the message. He's trying to figure out how he gets back in the womb. It's a changed heart. Let us consider this. Are we more focused on what Jesus can do for us or who Jesus actually is? Can we allow Him to change our hearts and shift our prayers from asking God to fix a situation into thanking Him for who He is, regardless of the outcome? Back to your bulletin, let's read the memory verse. Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This royal official came to Jesus believing that Jesus could fix his problem. He left believing that Jesus could be trusted. That is a very different kind of faith. Many of us came today carrying something that we cannot control. We came with a diagnosis, a broken relationship, an uncertain future, a broken heart, or a prayer that seems unanswered. Like the official, we've tried to carry what only Christ can carry. We want God to explain, to hurry, and sometimes even follow our script. But Jesus invites us to something better, not control. Trust and rest in Him. Just like every day when you lay down to go to sleep at night, you're not in control. Faith has never been about knowing what God will do next. Faith is knowing who Jesus is. The officials discovered what every Christian eventually learns. The safest place is not where life makes sense. The safest place is where Jesus has spoken. That's why we gather in His Word. We pray to Him. We spend time together with one another as a church. Because Jesus still speaks. He still forgives. He still gives life. He still keeps every promise He's ever made. The greatest miracle in the story was not a dying boy lived. The greatest miracle in the story is a sinner believed. The same miracle is happening here today as the Holy Spirit creates faith through Christ's Word. So whatever waits for you tomorrow, whatever you cannot fix, whatever you cannot understand, you do not walk toward an uncertain future alone. You walk with a faithful Savior who is already there, because letting go of control is faith. Not trusting that life will go our way, but faith in trusting that Christ is the way. Let us pray. Father, we confess that we often try to carry more than necessary, Lord. We seek control instead of trust. We want answers instead of Your promises. And we prefer certainty sometimes instead of faith. Forgive us. Forgive us for relying on our own understandings and abilities instead of Your promises, Lord. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is faithful even when we cannot see what You're doing, Lord. Strengthen our faith through Your Word and help us to walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit, Lord. By faith and not by sight. Lord, confidence in You and You alone, that because Christ has died and is risen and reigns, our future is secure in You, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray as You taught us to pray, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We continue our worship by collecting our offering today. You know, everything that we have is His. And it's, so we give back. It's part of our worship. You can bring your offering up here when we're done. But I want to just say how wonderful it is to hear God's Word. And to be directed in such a way where God's nudgings, where we have fallen short because of our impatience, or we want it now, and we just don't know how to let go of control. It really is something amazing to know that God is in control of absolutely everything. So that's part of our offering here today. We also have a connection card, and if you could please fill that out, put it with your offering, and bring it up here as we continue to worship. You guys are ready? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will never trust Him in His presence daily. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me now. surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. So let's rise and finish up with another worship song. You know, to God be the glory in all things. And as we walk out today, this his message challenges us to trust him and trust him only. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. What he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps, yeah. So this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. Fail. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God. Yeah. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. never fail. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a hallelujah amen? Come on. Yeah. So here, receive this blessing as you go today here at Hope on the Beach. We hold our hands out just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you his peace. Amen. See you next week. God bless.